Welcome to implementing security for your BI applications. My name is Tom Wisnowski. I'm an architect in Microsoft Services. Some of you might be familiar with some of my work around Kerberos, some of the TechNet guidance, some of the sessions I've done in the past. What we're here to talk about today is to take a look at some of the major investments we've made across our entire stack to really enable some of the BI scenarios that were a little bit challenging in the past. So let's step into our time machine and go way back, 2 years ago, back when we released 2010, and think about, from a BI scenario, if you were a BI architect and IT pro, what were some of the things that you had to consider when you were designing your infrastructure and designing your farms? The first thing you had to start thinking about was, well, am I going to use claims mode or am I going to use classic mode? The default back then was classic mode. For the most part, everything worked in classic mode, but if you wanted to use claims, you had to be aware there were some caveats depending on what service application you were going to use, what type of authentication you're going to use to some of the line of business systems you wanted to report against. So it took a little bit to understand that and work through some of those challenges. You had the service application architecture, so that was something that we introduced in the product in 2010. But what we had was some discrepancies around how particular services were implemented using that framework. So for instance, if you're a reporting services infrastructure expert, you know that reporting services didn't leverage the service application architecture. It in fact actually had a more traditional approach where you had to install a service, window service on your farm, and then you had to configure Kerberos constrained delegation or delegation in general from your web front ends to your service endpoint. And then you had other things like Excel services, which actually was a service application, and it had a different approach in architecture. So again, all these inconsistencies made it a bit more challenging when you had to design your farm. You had to make sure all these things were in place to make sure all the scenarios were enabled and were going to work. And then, of course, our favorite topic, which is identity delegation. So if you were in a scenario where you had a dashboard or report, and it was a requirement to be able to delegate the calling user's identity to a line of business system like SQL Server, for instance, to make sure that we were doing the appropriate level of security trimming on that back-end system, we had to set up, in some scenarios, Kerberos constrained delegation. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But with that, we knew that there were certain limitations, especially when you had to potentially delegate across certain boundaries like domain and forest. And then finally, because we were leveraging Kerberos was always a bit challenging, right? I mean, so there was a lot of infrastructure set up. There's things that you have to make sure you've done from a DNS standpoint, Active Directory, service principal names. And then even if you had that correct, there were scenarios in a large enterprise where you could find that certain users would fail when they would try to connect to Kerberos-enabled applications. Maybe they have too many groups and their pack was too large and their ticket would get truncated. So there's all sorts of issues with Kerberos. So in 2010, you can make this work, but it took a lot of time to figure it all out. You had to do a lot of testing, and there were some scenarios, maybe some trade-offs that had to be made to make sure that you were able to enable all of your scenarios. Well, today it's much different. So with the investments we've made not only in SharePoint, but also in the current releases of SQL Server and Windows Server 2012, there's a whole new set of opportunities that we can look at to see if there's new features that we can leverage in our own architectures to help us get around some of those limitations. So today, what we're really going to focus on are just a few key areas. If you've been to one of my talks before, I usually like to do a Kerberos 101. We're going to skip all that, so I'm going to assume you know how that works. But really what I want to make sure you walk away with today is a few things. One, I want to make sure you understand that SharePoint 2013 is claims first, and that is the de facto authentication method we should be using in our new farms. With that, that means that everything that's been designed for SharePoint has been ground up tested with claims, so now we don't have to worry about scenarios where, for instance, Power Pivot, where there was a scenario you had to have classic mode authentication, no longer the case, right? We've tested it with claims, it works with claims. The BI architecture consistency, so we now have consistency across all of our BI tools, so we've implemented them as service applications, which is great. That means there's one overall conceptual architecture you have to understand. Once you understand that, then really configuring Excel services versus Visio versus reporting services, it doesn't matter. Once you understand it, you can configure it. Then, this is really cool. So this is something we've implemented in Windows. So this is not a SharePoint feature, but this is something called resource-based constrained delegation. The essence here is what it's going to enable now is delegation across domain and forest boundaries. We'll talk more about that. And then finally, we've made some investments in authentication in SQL Server. So now we're also supporting things called BISM connection files. And we also have better support to leverage effective username authentication when you're connecting to analysis services. And we'll take a look at all that here as we continue through the slides. OK. So claims in SharePoint 2013. So if you've been to any sessions this week, I'm sure you've heard this message. Claims is the default authentication provider when you install SharePoint. Classic mode is officially deprecated. Does that mean that classic mode is gone? Absolutely not. Classic mode is still technically in the product. But really what it's there for is to really help you just in the scenario where you're doing an upgrade and you're trying to migrate from classic to claims. There's been some great talks about how to do those migrations. I would recommend that you go to them or you review them. They'll actually tell you that our preferred approach to upgrade is upgrading your 2010 environment to claims before you even come over to SharePoint 2013. Okay, and with that, we've made some investments on how you can do that upgrade, how you can test your content databases. So the upgrade in the migration scenario to claims is actually really good in 2013. Now, BI service applications require Windows claims for outbound window identity delegation. So what does that mean? So if you're leveraging one of our BI tools, or let's say you're using reporting services or Excel services as an example, and you want to delegate the user's identity outbound to SQL Server, you're going to have to use Windows claims as the incoming authentication provider into the farm. The reason for that is going to be covered in a few slides, but take away from this when you're thinking about if you're going to be using SAML or Windows claims, those are typically the two most common choices. For BI, you really want to look at Windows claims as the preferred option. Okay, so little primer. If you haven't been used to using SharePoint, maybe you're a reporting services expert, you don't really understand the service application architecture. Service applications are how we enable services in a SharePoint farm. And what you have are a few key components. So first, you have the service instance itself. Right, so this is reporting services, Excel services. This is the actual worker process that's going to process your request, perform some action, and return it back to the caller. On the web application layer, you have what we call the application proxies. So this is what's going to connect to your service endpoints and be able to perform the function. So that's going to receive the request from the end user, pass that then back to a set of load balanced service instances running on your middle tier, and then your middle tier leveraging that purple component, the claims to Windows token service, goes back and actually performs the required delegation to go and authenticate to something like SQL. So in reporting services, since this is really new for reporting services, let's take a closer look. What we have here is an example of that. So in my farm, so if I have a scale out scenario, let's say I've got multiple web front ends and I want to run multiple back-end instances of reporting services so that I have high availability. What I would do here is, first, I would install reporting services on all my servers. And when I'm installing that, there's two components. There's the reporting services service itself, and then there's the plugin for the web front ends. What I'm going to do is I'm going to instantiate the services on my application role on each server in that tier. Once I've done that, then I'm going to enable the reporting services proxy through central administration. I'm going to go ahead and create a service application and then configure my web applications to consume that application proxy. And we'll do a quick demo of how that works. So we've picked up this new architecture. This is slightly different. The takeaway here is we don't have an instance where we're doing delegation now between the front ends and your reporting services server, so no need for Kerberos now on your front ends. But with that comes some new requirements. Okay, so let's take a look at the example here. So if I want to do delegation in a service app, what's happening under the covers? So let's say I've got a principal, Bob. Bob is going to authenticate to a dashboard. That dashboard is going to pull up a reporting services report. We're going to use claims authentication, Windows claims. Remember, it's got to be Windows claims. So what happens is Bob makes his request. Bob passes his Windows credentials. He gets a Windows claim token. The web front end then is going to now service that request, and it's going to talk to the service application server. The service application server at that point only has Bob's claims. It does not actually have a Windows token anymore for Bob, so we don't have an NTLM or Kerberos ticket for Bob. So at some point, we have to authenticate with SQL. I can't pass back that claim set to SQL, so I need to go off and get a Kerberos ticket. The way we do that is with a special component called the Claims to Windows Token Service. This is something that ships with SharePoint, but it's part of the Windows Identity Foundation. It's a separate component that's actually part of another product that we just ship with SharePoint. And its primary function is to simply take a UPN that you get from that claim set and log on Bob, go get a service ticket, a Kerberos service ticket, and pass it back to whatever endpoint's required. So what does this look like? So we have, again, a claim set for Bob. Within that claim set, we actually have a UPN claim. That's very important. There's two key things that are going on. One, in that claim set, there's a provider type. So in the claim set, we actually indicate what provider you used inbound into the farm. The second thing we inject, if you have a Windows claim, is we inject your UPN. Those two things combined are used by SharePoint to determine if we're going to use the Claims to Windows token service to attempt to perform a services for you logon. The service applications, what they do is, the first thing they'll do is they'll check provider type. This is why it's important that you're using Windows claims on the front end. If the provider is not Windows, so in other words, it's FBA, SAML, in those cases, SharePoint is not going to attempt to leverage the Claims to Windows token service. If, however, you did use Windows, what SharePoint will do is then extract out that UPN, give it to the Claims to Windows token service. It's then going to go off and talk to the KDC, your Active Directory controller in your domain. It's going to do an S4U logon, and it's going to get a service ticket for the incoming user. At that point, it actually gives that ticket to the service application instance. So if this is reporting services, it gets that ticket. And now reporting services can go back to, let's say, for instance, SQL and authenticate. Okay, a couple things to note here. So again, it's part of the Windows Identity Foundation. This only accepts local RPC. You can imagine this is a highly privileged process. By default, we ship it running as local system. If you were to reconfigure it to use a domain account, you actually have to give it Active operating system. So it's very privileged. That's why we only allow you to call it using local RPC. And this requires constrained delegation, and more on that in a minute. So let's kind of walk through that flow one last time just to make sure we understand. So if Bob is coming in, Bob's going to come with claims using Windows claims to the front end. The front end is going to talk to the application server running the instance of reporting services. It's going to pass back SAML. So we're using SAML on the interior of the farm. The application server at that point says, OK, you're trying to actually connect to SQL. I can't pass SAML back to SQL, so I'm going to have to go get a Kerberos ticket for you. So the first thing it does is it says, OK, here's the SAML for the user to the reporting services instance. Reporting services says, OK, I'm going to have to convert that to a service ticket, so I pass that to the Claims to Windows token service. That service then performs the actual logon. So it goes off on behalf of the user, does a logon. The reason why it has to be privileged is we don't actually have Bob's password at this point. We just know it's Bob at some domain. So it's doing an S4U logon, and if that's been configured correctly, we get a ticket back. That Kerberos ticket then is passed back to reporting services, and then reporting services can go off and actually authenticate to the data source. Question. Okay, so the question is, if Bob were to come in with SAML claims, is there any way that we can delegate his identity? So The answer to that, the way it's currently implemented, is no. So what we're doing right now is we're enforcing the check for all the service applications. We look at the identity provider, and we first determine if you've come in through Windows, so either Windows claims or in technically classic mode too. Technically, the claims Windows token service is completely agnostic of the provider coming in, the method it uses to do the authentication. It just asks for a UPN. So really what this is a design decision that was made for the SharePoint product. This has actually been a very popular request, by the way. We understand there are lots of scenarios where it would be useful to be able to arbitrarily inject a UPN into your SAML claims and then be able to authenticate. And the product group is definitely looking at that requirement. SharePoint 2013 is definitely claims aware. So we are absolutely claims first. So when you... Oh, SQL 2012. Well, so SQL 2012 technically can work in a claims environment, right? So what we have here is we're accepting claims, and if as long as it's Windows claims, everything works. What we can't do at this point is pass back a claim set to the SQL engine. So the SQL engine, I can't authenticate directly to it with claims. So let's take a look at how you would actually configure this in your environment. Okay. So why don't we start off with the first requirement. So the requirement is you have to have a data source that's going to accept Kerberos. So in my little local lab here, I have a SQL server that I'm going to connect to that's within the domain that SharePoint resides, so we're not doing any kind of domain or forced delegation yet. So I'm going to come over to that SQL server. And what I've done is I've already configured the SQL server to support claims or Kerberos authentication. So what you do is to enable SQL Server to accept a Kerberos ticket, what you have to do is register the service principal names. If you used an account when you set up SQL that has permissions to go and create a service principal name, SQL will do this for you. But typically, you're using a domain account that doesn't have that privilege, so you have to manually do it after the fact. Nothing's actually changed here if you're using a domain account, how you would actually configure a service principal name. There's lots of documentation out there how to do this. But let me zoom in. So what we have here is we're using the setSPN command line tool. We've made some improvements, some investments in this as well. We can no longer, for instance, register a duplicate spin, which is good. But what we do is we actually use the second option to register a service principal name, which is dash S. We use the format MS SQL Service / fully qualified instance name and the port you're running on. In this case, the default port 1433. Finally, the service account that you're running SQL as, which in my case is demo SQL service. So I've already have done this. We can go ahead and query just to prove that that's configured correctly. So I'm going to go ahead and look for a service principal name. I'm going to run this. And you can see that it's been found and that on my service account, I have a service principal name. So okay, so that's been configured. So then the next step is let's make sure that at least SharePoint is connecting to this instance and using Kerberos. So what I've done is I've created a quick system view to show you all the connections in the environment, all the sessions, and the authentication method being used. I can show you what that looks like under the covers. It's actually pretty simple. Let me go ahead and go to design mode. Never mind all the columns. This is just what the designer does. Really what you want to take away here is this little part. So all I'm doing is just doing a join off two system views, joining the connections to sessions just so I can show you all the sessions and the connection information about those sessions. And I've created a view just to make it easier to query. So if I go and I run this, okay, you can see that if I look at the authentication scheme, I have services authenticating with Kerberos. Now you might also note that, okay, we've got a few using NTLM, what's going on there? And if you look at the transport, you'll see that most of the time it's going to be shared memory, but you can also have other services in your environment that are potentially connecting using NTLM. Okay, so now we're fairly confident that Kerberos is configured, SQL Server is accepting Kerberos tickets. The next step is let's go ahead and configure reporting services. So we've already installed reporting services. Remember, there's two components to doing that. We've installed it on every single server in the farm. I'm going to go into central administration and come over to my client, central admin. Okay, I'm going to go manage service applications. So the first thing you'll notice when we create a new service application, you're going to see there's a reporting services option. So this is the major change we made in reporting services. Before, you didn't have this. So you're going to go ahead and you're going to create a new service application. You can do this either through PowerShell or through central administration. Once you've done this, you need to make sure that not only do you have the service application, you have to have instances of the service running in the farm so that they can actually process the requests. So you do that through another screen. If we come back to central administration, manage services on server. So if I click on this and I view the server that I'm running the service on, in this case it's the application layer, you can see if I scroll down, I've got a reporting services service that I've started on this particular server. If I have a scenario where I want high availability, I'm going to run on multiple servers, the only thing I have to do is just start up that service on multiple servers, and SharePoint's going to handle the load balancing for me. That's the benefit you get of moving to the service application framework. Okay, so now we have the service application. We've got SQL reporting services installed. We've got the instances running. So the other requirement was claims the Windows token service. The claims the Windows token service has to be running on every server locally where you have a service application that requires it. So if we look at the claims the Windows token service on this server, we can see that indeed it is started. So we have reporting services installed and configured. We have the claims the Windows token service. One last thing, we need to make sure delegation is configured correctly. So I'm going to go off and make sure that's been configured. Yes? Okay, so the question is, for the claims of Windows token service, am I using a domain account or am I leaving it default local system? In this example, in the demo, I just left it local system. The reason why is the local system already has the elevated rights, the active operating system rights to perform the logon. If you do it through a service account, there's additional steps you have to take to make sure that the service account has appropriate permissions and reboot the box. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's create a report. So I'm going to go ahead now and take a look at a sample report I've written. So we're in the Data Designer, and we're going to take a look at one of these local reports. So current session, all it does is it goes off and it queries that view that I've created. I'm going to go ahead and run a preview of it quickly. You can see here that I am connecting with Kerberos, and at this point in time, I'm coming from the local machine I'm doing development on. So now what I want to do is I want to publish that report up to SharePoint and run it from there and see what I get. So I've already done that. And I come over back to my demo site. And I'm going to come over to reports. And here you can see my connections. I've got my report. I'm going to view the current session from a local SQL server, meaning I'm not doing any delegation across forest or domain boundary. Go ahead, start that up. Okay, and it works. So what we see here is we have a new session, and notice that the host is now my SharePoint server. So the SharePoint server actually went out, made the connection on behalf of my request, and logged in using my identity. So I basically passed, I authenticated with SharePoint using claims. I was able to convert my claims token into a service ticket, Kerberos service ticket, and then I delegated it all the way back to SQL, and SQL reported back to me. The host was SharePoint that logged on, and the logon name was demo administrator. Okay, so that's it for the first demo. So back to the presentation. So now that we understand the basic configuration for reporting services, let's take a look at some of the implications that we've picked up now that we're in this new mode. So, claims a Windows token service. It's performing a very privileged operation. What it's doing is it's logging on my behalf without actually having my credentials. So to do that, we've enforced some restrictions. In Windows 2008, what you have to consider is it requires constrained delegation. So this means in a constrained delegation mode, you are not going to be able to delegate across a domain boundary or a forest boundary. So some of the services that are going to be leveraging this, Excel services, Performance Point, reporting services, you have to keep this in mind. If I'm running on Windows 2008, I have to leverage Kerberos constrained delegation. Now, what if I'm not leveraging Windows 2008? So let's take a look at all the improvements we've made in Windows 2012 around Kerberos. So if you were in some of my previous sessions, we kind of joked about how Kerberos is probably going to start dying and it was going to be all about claims. Claims is definitely the hot investment area, but we've made a ton of improvements in Windows to better support Kerberos. You can see I've got a number of things, everything from supporting larger tickets and pack compression. I actually support claims in my Kerberos ticket. That's a whole different conversation. Fast armoring, something called RBCD, the tool SetSPNs improve, we now have KDC proxies. We have all these improvements and even more. So please go check out TechNet and learn about all the improvements we're making in Windows 2012. From a BI standpoint, however, one of the key things we're going to be really interested in is RBCD, resource-based constrained delegation. Let's take a look at that. All right, so in resource-based constrained delegation, I have, in this example, I have a very simple forest, a single domain. I've got a SharePoint environment. I'm running Windows 2012 Active Directory within that domain. And let's say I've got another environment. I've got another separate domain in the forest where I may have a SQL server that I have to report against. Or maybe I have a forest boundary where I've got a separate forest with trust set up, and I want to be able to report against that. What resource-based constrained delegation does is enable that scenario. So when I've authenticated with SharePoint, if I have the appropriate infrastructure in place, SharePoint's unaware of this, what it's going to allow us to do is actually delegate Bob's identity across those boundaries to either cross the domain or forest boundary. So let's take a look at, under the covers, what's happening there. All right, so how does this all work? So there's a few key requirements. So what we have here are two domains, and again, this works in a forest scenario as well. The first thing you have to have is Windows Server 2012, at least one domain controller in your site. You don't need to be running 2012 forest function level or domain function level, but you have to have at least one domain controller in each site. And the reason for that is we're going to upgrade the schema. We're going to add some new attributes that we'll look at in a minute. The second thing is the server that you're actually going to perform the RBC from, so in this case it's the web server, but in our example it's going to be SharePoint, has to be running on Windows 2012. So this would be a good example of why you might want to consider, if you're building out your 2013 environment, moving to Server 2012. And then finally, we have to have trust configured. So in this case, I've got one-way trust. It could be two-way trust as well. So let's take a look at the authentication flow. So in this scenario, let's pretend we've already attempted to request an object on the web server, got back the access denied. We've already determined we're going to perform a Kerberos logon. Okay, so the first thing that happens is I'm going to go off and I'm going to get a service ticket for that particular service. So I'm going to go up to the domain A. I'm going to ask for the service ticket. I'm going to get back the reply. And then I'm going to pass that to my web server. We're going to use the application protocol, passing that ticket. Web server then is going to go, oh, okay, you're actually trying to connect to that SQL server in domain B. So the service principal name for that server is going to be associated to some account in that domain. I'm going to go and try to make a request for that. In this case, I'm going to do a services for you proxy request, asking for the service ticket. Domain A is going to say, hey, listen, I don't know anything about that service. I can't give you the service ticket for that SQL server. But what I can give you now is a referral ticket. So now I'm going to get back a ticket granting ticket that's going to allow me to go to the second domain, ask for the same thing. This time it's going to be aware of that SQL server service. It's going to have the service principal name registered. But it's also going to stop at that point and say, well, I've got a request coming in from this other domain. I don't really know if I want to allow that particular service to do the delegation. So we've added a new attribute in the schema to specify that. That new attribute Is MSDS allowed to act on behalf of other identity? Now you can say that three times fast. So what we've done here is we've specified, yes, I'm going to trust domain A, the web server service, to actually perform that delegation. So if you think about it, before with Kerberos constrained delegation, we actually specified it on the source side. We said that this account's allowed to delegate. What we're doing now is we're actually going to the target side and we're saying we're going to allow the delegation to occur. So once we've done that, we're going to get back the response. That response is going to have the service ticket we need to the SQL server. And then finally, through the application protocol again, we can pass that back to SQL and everything will work. Yes, we've been waiting for this for a while. So what do we have to have in place to make this work? All right, so a couple key requirements. This requires Windows 2012. So again, Windows 2012 on the server making the request. And then from the Active Directory standpoint, you have to have a Windows Server 2012 domain controller in the site that's running the service, so within SharePoint's domain, and then whatever resource domain you're trying to connect to. Okay, we do require trust, right? So that is a requirement, one way or two way. It works with both. And finally, you have to configure this new attribute. There is a hotfix for Windows Server 2008 domain controllers. Depending on the delegation scenario you're trying to set up, you may be required to configure this. Follow the link, and there's lots of information on how to determine if you need it and then how to apply it. Okay, so now we're going to go ahead and take a look at the demo we're going to run. And in this scenario, we've got a number of servers. So we have two forests. We have the demo.local forest, and then we have the vmlab.local forest. What I've done is I've configured two-way forest trust between the two forests. I have a SharePoint 2013 environment running Excel services. Excel services is running as a service account called SVC SPSA. We have claims to Windows token service running with Excel, and it's running as local system. And then I have a SQL server. SQL server is running SQL 2008 R2, so this is not a SQL 2012 feature. It's running on Windows 2008, so the target doesn't have to be running on Windows 2012. I've configured that SQL server for Kerberos authentication, so that is a requirement, and the only thing we do there is configure the service principal name. And then finally, in my SharePoint forest, I'm running Windows 2012 as the primary DC. That's not technically a requirement. But what I've done in the resource forest is I've added a second domain controller to my existing Windows 2008 R2 forest. I did not upgrade the forest function level or the domain function level. So how do we set all this up? All right, so the first step is we added the Windows DCs to our SharePoint domain and the SQL domain. I established the trust. In this case, it's a two-way forest trust. I installed SharePoint 2013 on Windows 2012. That's a key point. We configured Excel services. We started the claims to Windows token service on the server. We're using local system for this demo. I configured the remote resource SQL server for Kerberos authentication. I configured a service principal name. I have configured the MSDS allowed to act on behalf of other identity via PowerShell. This is really the only way you can configure this, and I'll show you how to do that. I finally then create a workbook with a connection to the remote SQL server. I use the user identity for authentication and a connection, and then test. And if everything's configured correctly, it should work. Okay, so this MSDS allowed to act on behalf of other identity. The only way we can configure this is through PowerShell. So what we have is a set of commandlets. We have setAD user, setAD computer, setAD service account, all of which have a parameter called principles allowed to delegate to account. This is the parameter we're going to use. So on the service, the target service we're trying to authenticate to, we say there's a principle that we're going to allow to delegate to that account. That is going to be your source service identity. So in other words, here I'm saying on my remote SQL server, I'm allowing the SharePoint service application identity to delegate to it. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question. Can you repeat that? How many? Oh, how many values? So you can specify more than one, and honestly, I don't know the maximum number of values.
Why does that not include the domain with fully qualified?
Because I'm specifying server, so I'm actually telling it. So by default, it's actually going to try to go to the local domain, which that account doesn't exist in, so I just point it back to the Active Directory controller across the trust boundary. Okay. So again, if I have Windows 2008 R2 domain controllers, you may be required to install a hotfix. The link is there, so if you want more information, please follow the link. One note, you do have to be running Windows 2008 R2 domain and force function level at a minimum. Right? So if you're not there yet, that is the requirement. So let's go ahead now and take a look at how we configure this for Excel services. Okay, so a couple things we're going to do. I'm going to come back to my demo site. Okay, so first step, what I want to take a look at is I want to make sure that I'm authenticating to my remote SQL Server using Kerberos. So I'm going to go ahead and open up a test report. And this is the view current session. I'm going to go ahead and edit this. Okay, so we'll quickly look at the connection. So you notice here I'm running in the demo domain, and this is connecting to vmlab.local, so again, crossing the forest boundary. If I look at the properties real fast, you can see in the definition that I am connecting to the remote vmlab.local domain. My authentication settings, again, use authenticated user account. I'm going to go ahead and quickly do a refresh. So we can see here, when I saved the workbook, I was using NTLM, then I configured Kerberos. So when I refresh, Kerberos. Okay, so that's the first requirement. The source, the target I'm trying to authenticate to is using Kerberos. That's good. So the next thing we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and we're going to configure the attributes in Active Directory to allow the delegation to occur. So I'm going to go off and look at my domain controller. And in this case, I'm going to go look at the 2012 domain controller I've added to the environment to support this. And the reason for that is I've got PowerShell running there. So I'm going to go off, and this is in the remote resource forest. A couple things to look at. So first thing is we configure the principles allowed to delegate to on the target service account. In this case, it's SQL Server. So I've got my SQL Server service. We'll take a look at the properties of this. And I'm going to go into Attribute Editor, and I'm going to find that attribute. And we can see that we have the MS allowed to act on behalf of other identity. You get this when you've added that Windows 2012 domain controller to your site. It's going to update the schema. Okay, the value, this is an ACL, so you can't edit it here. So if I tried, it's going to fail. So we're going to go ahead and cancel out this and take a look at PowerShell. So again, we're going to use setAD user to configure this. We configure it on the service account in question, and the parameter is principles allowed to delegate to account. We're going to go and get that AD user from the source forest, which is that service account for SharePoint, and I'm going to specify to go get that from that remote domain. I've already configured this, so I'll show you actually how you would query this. So you notice that you don't really have a friendly view of that in the attribute editor, so you might be wondering, hey, what are those values that I stuffed in there before? This is how you would do it. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get that user again. One of the things you have to do, that's the MSDS allowed to act on behalf of other identity is not a default property. So we're going to go ahead and specify we want that property when we get this object returned. And then finally, I'm just going to show you what's the value in that property. So I'm going to go ahead and run this. And you can see that I have, from my remote domain, demo SBC SBSA allowed in that attribute. Okay, so let's go ahead. So now we have Kerberos configured on SQL Server. We've configured delegation. We're saying we're allowed to delegate to at this point. So let's go ahead and test this. So I'm going to come back, and I'm going to go to my client machine. I'm going to close this out. OK, in this case, I'm going to open up Excel Services. So in Excel Services, we're going to view the current session. OK, so again, we're using NTLM. And if everything is configured correctly, we will refresh. And it's going to work on it. And lo and behold, my authentication scheme is Kerberos. I have now just delegated from Excel Services across the forest boundary, queried data, and returned it. So you can imagine now lots of scenarios that are going to be enabled by this. So if you haven't had a chance to take a look at what we're doing in Windows 2012, definitely take the time to investigate, because that one feature alone is worth the entire product. Yes, yes, we've been waiting for it for a long time. Okay, so let's go back to the presentation. So a couple more things I want to introduce. Okay, if you haven't been using SQL 2012, there's a few things you need to be aware of. One, we have new support for different types of service accounts. So we have the support for managed service accounts, local service accounts. These are things that if you haven't been used to using them before, they may be a little foreign to you. Depending on which account type you're using, how you register a service principal name changes. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the support for effective username when I'm connecting to analysis services in tabular mode. So we're going to take a look at an example of both a reporting services data source using effective username and what it means under the covers. And then finally, we're going to take a look at a support for a connection type called BISM, so the BI semantic model. Okay, so in SQL 2012, we now have basically four different account types we can deal with. So we have built-in accounts, so this is one option for installation. Domain accounts, so this is the typical approach most of us are taking in our enterprises today. Then we have some new account types. The managed service account. So the managed service account is basically an account that you create through PowerShell, registered it in Active Directory, and associate it to the machine, and you don't manage the service principal name or the password, right? So that allows us to create an account that's a little bit more secure, that's automatically being rolled from a password standpoint, and it's a little bit easier to administrate. And then you have the virtual service account, which in essence is basically the same thing, except it's not registered in Active Directory. It's only viable on the local machine. Okay, so domain service accounts, no real changes here from a Kerberos configuration standpoint. Plenty of documentation on how to do this. Again, requires the standard service principal names for the SQL engine, MS SQL Service. Managed service accounts. So the one cool feature about managed service accounts is you don't actually have to create the service principal name. So when you register a managed account, it's going to do that for you. And again, you're going to have to do this through PowerShell. So the way this works, again, you create an Active Directory. You associate it to a computer. And then you install the MSA on that computer where you associate it. And then you finally configure the service SQL Server, for instance, to use that managed account. Some limitations. One is account name must be 15 characters or less. And if you want more information on managed accounts, there's a TechNet link for you. Virtual accounts. Okay, so if you're using a SQL cluster, I do believe you cannot use managed service accounts for clustering. Yes. Virtual accounts. So this is actually what you're presented by default. So if you didn't take the time to change this when you're clicking through install, you're now running with virtual accounts. So basically, this is an account that only exists on the local machine. You'll notice that it has NT authority as its scope. And if you want to register a service principal name for a virtual account, basically what you do is you set the service principal name on the machine. Right? So in essence, it's just really an alias for the machine. Okay, effective username. So this is technically not a new feature of analysis services. We're just implementing better support for it in some of the tools in SharePoint. What this basically allows us to do is, on the connection to analysis services, we can first try Kerberos or standard authentication protocols. If that doesn't work, I can actually pass on the connection string just the context, the identity I want to run the query as, using a parameter called effective username. And then when analysis services receives that, it has the logic to say, okay, I'm going to do a logon for that account, I'm going to execute using those credentials, and then I'm going to return that back as if you've authenticated using that particular account. This, again, is only for analysis services, so this is not a feature you can use with the SQL Server reporting or database engine. One last new feature, the BI semantic model. So the BI semantic model is sort of the best of both worlds. So let's take a look at how this works. So when I create a new BISM file on my web front end, this is just a standard connection type, I'm going to go ahead and configure my report to use that as a connection. So when I'm creating my report, I just browse out the HTTPS, you know, whatever my library is, and find my BISM file. What reporting services does is it goes and grabs the file, and the first thing it's going to try is it's going to try to actually do Kerberos constrained delegation to that endpoint. So in this case, analysis services. If that fails for whatever reason, let's say, you know, in this case we've got a domain boundary and I haven't configured role-based constrained delegation, it's going to go ahead and fail back to effective username. So in other words, it says, hey, I'm coming in as Bob. I'm going to try to delegate Bob across the wire. If I can't delegate, I'm going to go ahead and run as whatever service account I'm running as on the application server. So in our example, that was the service SharePoint service application service account. I'm going to try to connect with that. It doesn't require delegation because it's a single hop. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to stuff Bob in the effective username in the connection string itself. And then that way, we can still authenticate with Bob and then get back the results as if Bob was making the request. So let's go ahead and investigate how that works. Come back over to my demo machine. Okay, so let's go back to our site. And I've got a data connections library where I've got a test connection that we can take a look at. And to actually see what's going on under the covers, let's go over to our analysis services server. And in this case, I'm running analysis services again across the forest boundary. And for this particular service, I did not configure resource-based constrained delegation. So I know for a fact Kerberos delegation to this particular service is going to fail, and I want it to. Okay, so the first thing I have is Profiler running. I'm going to go ahead and start that up. I'm also going to go ahead and clear out the security log and come back, start Profiler. Go ahead and clear that out. Okay. Now let's come back and let's play around with that connection a bit. Okay, so I have, this is just the standard reporting services data source, learn effective username. I'm going to come over here and notice that I have to actually follow the context menu to get to edit data source definition. So I'm going to edit the data source definition. And you can see I'm presented with all sorts of options. So first requirement, you have to be connecting to analysis services. So make sure that's set. Second thing, you have to specify a connection string. I'm connecting to my analysis services instance across the forest. And now we're going to go ahead and change this. So by default, we're using Windows Authentication. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tell it to use stored credentials. So the first thing I'm going to do is specify, let's go ahead and try to connect as myself. So we've got a couple options here. So one is use as Windows credentials, and then set execution context to this account. So the first thing, we have to specify use Windows credentials. So I want to connect using either NTLM or Kerberos. And to do that, I have to specify use Windows credentials. You'll see if I didn't have that, it would actually error out and say you're not connecting to HTTP or HTTPS endpoints. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to test this connection. First, I'm going to give it a password. OK. Go ahead and test this. And the connection succeeded. So let's go back to analysis services and see how we connected. Come back over here, and on my analysis services server, okay, I've got a couple events to take a look at. So you can see I've got the logon, and my Discover event and begin, you can see that I'm doing the connection, and notice I don't have effective username specified here yet. So if I want to connect with effective username, how do I do that? That's what that second checkbox is for. Let's go back. Now this time, what I'm actually going to do is I'm actually going to change this, and I'm going to try to connect using Bob, and then I'm going to say set execution context to this account, and I'm going to show you what that looks like and what this means. So I'm going to come back. I'm going to change this because it's a little bit easier to see. And note that every time you change any of the settings here, you have to go back and update password. Some people get a little frustrated by that. So just be aware of that, even if they're exact same passwords. Now this time, I'm going to say set execution context to this account. There's got to be a couple things in place on the analysis services side to make this work. So you can imagine that getting just a username from the connection string without a password, that's another elevated permission, right? To be able to log on with that user, I have to have elevated rights within analysis services. So what you have to have is the account that you're connecting with. So what we're doing is analysis services is going to connect with Bob. Because we've checked set execution context to this account, this account is a little misleading. It's not this as in what you specified. It's this as in this user. So I'm connecting as demo administrator. So you can see we're going to shove demo administrator into the connection string. For this to work, demo Bob has to have elevated rights and analysis services to be able to perform that log on. So if I go over to analysis services, you'll see how I've configured that. In this case, we'll use Management Studio. And here I am in tabular mode. I'm going to go ahead and look at the properties, security, and you can see Bob is a server administrator. So this is a requirement. If you want effective username to work, the service that's connecting has to be an administrator. Okay. So let's go ahead and make sure profile is still running. Let's go ahead and clear this out so we can see what happens. I'm going to come back, and in this case, go back. All right, I'm going to go ahead and retype this password just to be safe. I'll go ahead and check that box again. Test the connection. And it succeeded. So now let's go back and take a look at the difference. Okay, another login event. All right, there it is. Effective username. So again, if we look at the NT username for the connection, we connected via the service account we specified. In this case, it's Bob. But what we passed is effective username. So that query that I'm going to run is actually going to run as demo administrator. What that allows us to do is we can pass that across a boundary, right? Because that's a single hop. We don't actually have to have any kind of delegation set up to make this work. So now let's take a look at the BI semantic model connections and see how they function a bit differently. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to go back to, I'm going to clear this out again, and go back to my client. Go ahead and go back to my data connections. Okay, so now I've got a sample BISM connection. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take a look at the connection properties for this. Okay. So now note that I don't have any of those options here, right? So I can't actually say use this account, set the context of this identity. That is hardwired into how BISM connections work. So what I have is a simple file name and description. Now I need to have the server I'm trying to connect to, and then finally the database I'm authenticating against. What BISM's going to do, again, is it's going to attempt to do a Kerberos delegation. So if I'm coming in as administrator, I've requested a report using the BISM connection. It's going to say, hey, can I try to delegate the administrator over the wire? If I can't, for whatever reason it fails, I'm going to fail back to the effective username we just saw. It's going to use whatever service identity the service is running as. So if you've got reporting services running as, you know, service report, it's going to use that identity. That identity has to be administrator on the analysis services server. It's going to pack in effective username and the connection string, and then the connection should succeed. And it does that all under the covers for you. So also note there we don't have a test connection button on this screen. What will actually happen is every time you edit a BISM file and you click OK, it's going to go ahead and test the connection. If it fails, it'll say, hey, we had a problem here. Do you really want to continue and save this, or do you want to go fix your problem? So if you ever want to test these, you can just open up the edit screen, click OK, and it's actually going to try to do the log on. One thing to note, I've seen a lot of chatter about this on the internet. When you're doing this and you're actually connecting using this test screen, because you're not actually running underneath the context of a service like reporting services, it's using the farm account. So one thing to remember you have to do is you go back to analysis services and configure the farm account as an administrator to allow it to do the log on as effective username. So I'm going to go off. I'm going to click OK. And if it works, it shouldn't give me any errors. OK, everything's working. So let's go back to analysis services. And we should see, yes. So now note, I've physically connected to the box, Windows identity, service farm, but I've passed the effective username demo administrator on the connection. And because service farm has, again, the elevated permissions analysis services, it logged me on and then can perform whatever query operation I've asked for. And that is BISM. OK, so let's sort of summarize it. So delegate option summary. So if I'm running in a single domain, everything's very easy. I can do Kerberos constrained delegation. I can still use resource-based constrained delegation. No reason you have to have multiple domains or forests. And now I also have new options with analysis services where I can be using effective username, either in my reporting services connections or in my BISM connections. If I'm in an environment where I have multiple domains or forests, my new options are resource-based constrained delegation, or again, effective username and BISM. So, right, so in summary, hopefully you've had a chance now to really see that we've made lots of great improvements across the newest versions of SharePoint, SQL Server, and Windows Server. Lots of great features here to leverage in your architectures. Again, if you haven't had the opportunity to look at Windows Server as your platform for SharePoint, I would consider that your first option because you really want to be able to leverage this in your environment. All right, so again, please fill out your evaluations, very important to us. Please make sure if you have any feedback, if you want more information, if you'd like to see this presentation change, let us know. And now I'd like to open up the floor for any Q&A. Thank you. If you have questions, please step up to the mic.
What are some of the points that you should consider when deciding whether or not to run the CTWTS service as a domain account versus system?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the question is, you know, what are some of the considerations when I'm running claims of Windows token service versus as local system or a domain? It really all depends on your particular requirements from a security standpoint. Honestly, I find that from an operation standpoint, I used to always recommend that you always use a dedicated account. But I found that in multiple environments, sometimes that doesn't get configured correctly, causes a lot of operational issues. So my new thinking around this is really, you know, unless you have a particular requirement, use local system. It has the default permissions needed. It doesn't require any additional configuration. And it's an easier option. But you know, if you're required not to use local system in your environment, I've seen customer environments where they refuse to allow services to run as a local system. In that case, then use a service account and make sure you've read the documentation and you've provided the appropriate permissions. Yes, question.
How about BCS with the claims to token Windows service?
Right, so BCS still it has that traditional model where BCS is going to be making that direct connection running from your web front ends.
So nothing changed there?
Yeah, nothing changed there. Okay. Any other questions? All right, well, thank you again, guys. I appreciate the time. Hopefully you have